You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. We are loaded up on today's show. I appreciate you being here, as in the first segment, we are going to get to Tennessee football. You will hear from Tennessee head coach Jeremy Pruitt as he talks about being a little more comfortable maybe entering year two as Tennessee's head coach compared to a year ago, and as over the last few weeks we've been looking ahead with Tennessee's football program, Jeremy Pruitt will do that as well. What you should expect to see from his team in year two on the field. That's coming up in the first segment of the show. In the second segment, we're going to switch to Tennessee baseball. The Tennessee baseball team is getting ready for a big NCAA regional, the Vols' first regional appearance in 14 years. Someone who knows what it's like to be in an NCAA regional, Craig Cobb, former Tennessee pitcher, is going to join the show and tell you what it was like for that 2005 team that went all the way to the College World Series. He'll also tell you a little bit about what Tony Vitello's team has been able to do to put them in this kind of position, heading to Chapel Hill for their game coming up Friday night against Liberty. That's in segment number two. And in the third segment, you will hear from Jordan Bone as he has made it official that he will stay in the NBA draft. He says thank you and goodbye to Tennessee fans coming up in the third segment of the show. That's all right here on Locked On Vols, your team every day. And you can find the show every day on the brand new Himalaya app, plus Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, the third-party apps, and you can tell your smartphone to play podcast Locked On VOLS. And today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded. So Tennessee's head football coach, Jeremy Pruitt, was down in Destin for the SEC spring meetings, which have been going on this week. And, of course, met with the media while he's down there and made an appearance on the Paul Feinbaum show on the SEC network. And I've thought during the spring, and others have mentioned the same thing, that Jeremy Pruitt has looked a little bit more comfortable in his position. His co-defensive coordinator, Chris Rumpf, remember meeting with the media in the spring, said that Jeremy Pruitt appears more comfortable and is maybe a calmer head coach than he was a year ago when he was doing it for the first time. That's something that Paul Feinbaum mentioned to him as well. Paul said to Jeremy, hey, you look a little more comfortable here this time compared to a year ago when Jeremy Pruitt was going through it for the first time. Here's what Jeremy Pruitt said when he heard that from Paul Feinbaum.
Well, you know, the longer you do something, the better you should be at it. So, you know, I probably made plenty of mistakes in year one, and just like I did as a position coach, a coordinator, so you get better at something the longer you do it. And when you got good people around you and everybody in the program's familiar with what you're trying to get done, it does make it easier the second time.
So Jeremy Pruitt talking about, okay, second time around, a lot of people are back. Craig Fitzgerald being back is very important because right now is an important time for Tennessee as it gets ready for the next couple of months. Summer school is now underway, so you have the other freshmen who have arrived on campus. It's a very important time for Tennessee, and having somebody like Craig Fitzgerald back is crucial, I think, to the development of what Tennessee has built in the first year. This is not going to be a 1 year, then second year, and boom, everything is where you want it to be as a program. Not with where Jeremy Pruitt inherited things. Maybe that's the case for Florida, but I still am a little bit skeptical that that's even going to be the case for Dan Mullen. It was for Kirby Smart at Georgia, but remember, Kirby inherited a program that had won 50 games the previous 5 years. It's going to take a little bit longer for Tennessee, which I think just about everybody recognizes. They are going into year two with higher expectations. That's from the fan base. I think that's going to be from the media, and that's going to be internal. Jeremy Pruitt is going to have higher expectations for Tennessee this upcoming year than the Vols had a year ago. Later in the interview with Paul Feinbaum, Paul kind of asked Jeremy how he would grade the first year, and Jeremy's response was simply, we went 5-7 last year. You're graded by your wins and your losses. And last year, despite some positives like beating Auburn and beating Kentucky, there were too many negatives, losing 7 games, losing 6 of them by 25 or more points. So like I mentioned, Jeremy Pruitt has higher expectations, of course he does, for year two. What should Tennessee fans expect, though? That's something Paul Feinbaum asked Jeremy Pruitt. Here's what he said.
Well, you know, to me, the most important thing is playing the right way. Everybody wants to measure it on wins and losses, but to me, there's a certain way that you're supposed to play. And we did that a few times last year, so we actually seen it, felt it, experienced it. Now the goal is to do it every week. It starts in preparation in the off season. I think we had a really good off season. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that the players played the same positions throughout the entire spring. Spring before, there was lots of moving folks around and stuff. So the guys that we recruited, we know where we kind of want to fit them in the piece of the puzzle. So I thought we had 14 really good days of spring practice. We had one I'd like to have back. You know, and we had a good May. We had 55 guys that stayed for May mini term. And, you know, now we got a chance in June and July and August to kind of create the identity of this football team with the newcomers. And it's a great thing about sports is building a team. And we got an opportunity to do that with a good summer workout and conditioning. If you're going to have a good football program, you got to have a really good environment. No different than you got to want to go to work, right? So if you enjoy where you go to work, then you're going to show up. And when you're there, you're going to be productive. And I think with our staff and the people we've got involved in our program, I think the atmosphere around our program is very positive. I think our kids enjoy coming to work. They enjoy being around each other. They enjoy being around our staff. So anytime you kind of have that atmosphere, you got a chance to have success.
I do think there's something to that, what Jeremy Pruitt is talking about there with the atmosphere within Tennessee's program, the buy-in. We're going to get to buy-in with Tennessee sports coming up a little bit later in the show. I think that applies to Tennessee football, and I think there have been questions in the past year how much that was there, how much people were either buying in or, you know, if players, if staff members were really enjoying going to work or getting ready for whatever task was at hand, as Jeremy Pruitt's talking about there. If that is better, then people are going to get better. Staff members, players within the program, all of it needs to be on the same page. They do need to have a positive atmosphere. Doesn't mean everything's going to be easy. Doesn't mean you're showing up in short sandals and lounging around. But if everybody is on the same page within the program from the top down, then Tennessee football has a much better chance of succeeding long-term and building to what it wants to become. I received a question from Steven for the show asking about continuity and the ability to keep the coaches together for the long-term. And I would say it's difficult to project over 2 to 3 years, anywhere past that, to say, yeah, you're going to keep coaches together. Jim Chaney is, I think, somebody that could be a long-term option at the offensive coordinator position. One, because he has a long-term contract with a ton of money, and he came back to Tennessee because, one, I think he really likes Knoxville, and he wants to help build something at Tennessee. But at other positions, it's difficult to tell because Tennessee has a staff of coaches who have been at a number of different places. Derek Ansley is a guy that sees things defensively a lot of the same way that Jeremy Pruitt does, but he also is climbing up in the coaching ranks. And if things go well for Tennessee, then Derek Ansley could be a guy in the next couple of years that is talked about as a potential head coach, if that's something that he wants to do. But back to what I said about Craig Fitzgerald, keeping him, that to me is maybe the most important thing within Tennessee's football program for Jeremy Pruitt to be able to do. If Tennessee can have something to build on within its strength program, and of course, things need to go well within that strength program, but I would think that that's going to be the case. Craig Fitzgerald is very well thought of. If they can find consistency, if they can establish the program and keep it going, that would be very important, and I think give Tennessee football a chance to have big-time success long-term. If Tennessee recruits well, and Tennessee is then able to develop well, and that gets you back to the strength program, then ultimately Tennessee should be in a position where it can compete with Florida and Georgia and ultimately, you hope, Alabama within the SEC. That is not an overnight thing for Tennessee. That is something that's going to take time, and that's going to get back to what Jeremy Pruitt was talking about there, the environment within the program, people being on the same page. That's something that will take, I would say, an extended period of time to build on. But if Tennessee can win more games this year, recruit at an even higher level, and continue to keep pace with what it's done so far in the first year, there is a chance to succeed. Maybe in 2020, we are talking about Tennessee contending at least for the SEC East. It's an if right now, and we have to see what happens on the field in 2019 before we realistically have that conversation. But as you're trying to project and you're trying to see how you get there, I think Jeremy Pruitt at least laid out part of the plan to try to get there. Coming up next on Locked On Vols, Tennessee baseball is not where Tony Vitello ultimately wants to have the program, but in year two, he has Tennessee in an NCAA regional for the first time in 14 years. I'm going to talk to Craig Cobb, former Tennessee pitcher who was on the last team that went to a regional and ultimately the World Series. That's coming up next right here on Locked On Vols, which you can find every day on the brand new Himalaya app, which has a ton of options for you. Personally curated playlists, they have brand new features every day, and they make it very easy for you to follow the shows you like Locked On Vols. You can like and comment as well. Give a thumbs up to individual Locked On Vols episodes, and all you have to do is go to your App Store or the Google Play Store, find and download the Himalaya app, and when you do, don't forget to follow Locked On Vols once you're there. I want to welcome to the show former Tennessee pitcher Craig Cobb. He pitched at Tennessee from 2004 through 2007 and was a part of that 2005 team that made it all the way to the College World Series. Craig is number two on the all-time wins list for Tennessee. Craig, I really appreciate you taking the time to join the show, and I'll begin asking, looking at this Tennessee baseball team that Tony Vitello has in the regional, what do you like about what Vitello has done so far, and how do you think he's taken Tennessee from where it was when he inherited the program to where he has it now?
I think just the turnaround, obviously in the wins and losses, you know, they hadn't won, or we hadn't won that many games since, you know, 2005 and 2004, my first 2 years there in the program. We've kind of been stuck in the basement for, you know, better part of a decade and a half. So he's really done a great job getting the players excited. I think he can relate to the players, you know, with him and his coaching staff being on the younger side, more relatable to the players there. But, you know, Coach Anderson is an older coach, but, you know, he's obviously done a great job everywhere he's been, and you can really tell that the pitching staff has improved greatly over the last 2 years under his watch as well.
How much is that a part of it, what the pitching staff has been able to do this season? How much has that played into Tennessee's success this year?
Oh, the pitching's been fantastic. You know, they've had their lowest WHIP since 1994. You know, which is basically just base runners in innings. So, I mean, when you don't have a lot of guys on base, it's hard for them to score. You know, they've upped their strikeouts a ton. You know, they were striking out less than 400 here for a while, and they've popped that over, you know, 500 this year, which, you know, again, last time that happened was 2005, when we had, you know, Hochaver and Atkins and Sean Watson, you know, striking out everybody, and that's two first-rounders and a second-rounder. So they've done a great job there. You know, what's impressed me the most is their fielding. This year they've set the highest fielding percentage in program history. So, you know, when you're keeping guys off base and you have good defense and not really giving people much on that side of the ball, you know, it opens things up for the offense and, you know, really just kind of helps them winning.
Talking to former Tennessee pitcher Craig Cobb, as Tennessee's baseball team is getting ready for an NCAA regional coming up this weekend in Chapel Hill. The Vols will face Liberty on Friday night. Tennessee's the 2 seed there. And Tony Vitello talked about the loss to Auburn last week. Tennessee was 1-and-done in the SEC tournament. So Tennessee obviously has to be better coming up this weekend, right? What do you think he's talking about, though, when he talks about Tennessee needing to be better? What does it take to succeed when you go into a regional knowing you're facing other quality teams?
You know, they really just need to keep doing what they've been doing. You know, like I mentioned, they don't need to be walking guys, play good defense, and their offense has been, you know, good enough. They've kind of been middle of the pack in a lot of the SEC categories there on offense, but they take their walks, they steal a lot of bases, so they put a lot of pressure on the other team. You know, obviously getting out to a fast start is going to be key, especially for a team like Liberty who's good. I guess that's the beauty of college baseball, is that even the mid-major teams, you know, that they can sneak up and beat a team from a powerhouse conference like the SEC. At this point, you're going to be facing their number one, but at the same time, Tennessee's fully rested, so going one and out probably isn't the worst thing in the world. Lets them kind of reset, get healthy, get rested, and kind of regroup versus, you know, kind of playing all weekend and getting beat up and tired and whatnot. So 2 seed was the best possible scenario they had. And, you know, now they're rested, know who they're going to play. They'll do a good job on the scouting report, and I expect them to come out and play well on Friday night.
Yeah, what is managing arms like at this time of the year where you don't know how many games you have to play or exactly when you'll play? What does a coaching staff try to do to manage the arms and availability when you go into an NCAA regional?
You know, when we were there at the SEC tournament, we would always kind of throw off those first couple of games to kind of keep your starters on typical rest, you know, so they're not kind of off their routine. So, you know, they've probably got in bullpens, try to keep Stallings on his typical path and his routine. You know, if he can go out and do what he's been doing all year, he gives them a chance to win every time out. The rest of the guys, I mean, it's going to be all hands on deck. So everyone needs to be ready as early as possible. You know, you can't in these games, you can't really get down 3, 4, 5 runs early and, you know, just kind of let it ride. So he really needs a good start out of Stallings, and, you know, that's something he's been doing all year. So really like him on the mound with what he gives them and the chance that he'll give them to win every time out.
Talking to Craig Cobb, he pitched at Tennessee 2004 through 07. So, Craig, you were, of course, on that 05 team that went to the World Series. This is Tennessee's first time back in a regional since then, which is hard to believe. But that 05 team was obviously pretty special to go on that kind of a run. But why do you think that team, aside from the talent that you had, was such a special group together?
You know, it was a pretty tight-knit group. A lot of guys that were juniors and sophomores that had come up. All together, then you mix in some quality freshmen like James Atkins and J.P. Arencibia and Julio Borbón, who all three ended up being first rounders. That's not a bad freshman class to drop into the mix. But I mean, you obviously have to start at the top with guys like Luke Hochaver. I mean, he's one of the hardest working guys you'll ever meet. Really intense competitor. Great leader. And yet you had other seniors there in the mix like Alex Suarez and Rob Fitzgerald and Chase Headley. I mean, Josh Alley. I mean, you can go down the list. Mikey Rivera. They were all really, really good ball players and had all played a lot of baseball at UT at a high level and had all played together for a long time. So, you know, just a really good group of guys that all got along well and, you know, just happened to be extremely talented as well. And everything kind of fell into place for us that year, so it was a fun run to be on, and something we all still look back and talk about. And I know we're all kind of got a group text going, and super proud of what Coach Vitale has done with this group of guys, and excited for the direction he's got the program for sure.
Yeah, how much do you guys still communicate with each other? And I'm sure you've gone through some frustrating years keeping up with what's gone on with Tennessee. So to now see them have this kind of success and see a better trajectory with the program, the way that it appears at least, how much has that been a part of the conversation here the last year?
Oh, I mean, it's huge. You know, you got guys all across the country and, you know, different walks of life, but, you know, all sitting there kind of, you know, taking pride in the program and where we all played and graduated from. So, you know, going through a 14-year drought of some pretty bad baseball there for the, you know, greater part of that, it's, you know, always a tough pill to swallow seeing your school that you played for and still root for always at the bottom of the list and never making the conference tournament and let alone a regional. So, you know, seeing what they've done this year and the direction he's got them going is pretty fun to watch and pretty exciting.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier Tony Vitello just getting the players excited and believing, which he appears to have done very quickly at Tennessee, and then your team, 05, and the other teams as well, but how close you guys were off the field. How important is that to have the camaraderie, the buy-in, which we talk about a lot? How important is that for a team? I don't think that's something we should overlook. What do you think?
Oh no, especially in a sport like, you know, sport like baseball, it's you know, the good teams I've been on, there's always seemed to be, you know, that camaraderie like you talk about, where you know, you're pulling for everyone, even though it's an individual sport, you're still pulling together, and, you know, guys get along on and off the field. You know, that's definitely not always the case. You know, and I think when you've got a guy at the top that everyone, you know, likes and respects, and, you know, surely they've earned their trust at this point just based on the results. So, you know, I think they're probably fired up, and I'm sure the team is proud of what they've been able to accomplish, and, you know, that they've got an opportunity in front of them where, you know, anything can happen now. Go out and win the first two games, and you're 1-1 away from a super regional. So, you know, it's not a far stretch to see them making it that far with as good as they've been on really every side of the ball, pitching, offense, and defense. So they can do what they've been doing. They're a sneaky, dangerous team here.
Tennessee is back in a regional in baseball for the first time in 14 years. That 05 team, as Craig mentioned, they went on a run. They went to the World Series. Craig was a part of the team. Craig, it has been 14 years. We had a little more hair and a few less grays back then, but I appreciate you talking about what's going on with Tennessee baseball right now and looking back to that 05 team. Really appreciate the time today.
Yeah, no problem, Josh.
That's former Tennessee pitcher Craig Cobb right here on Locked On Vols. It's Tennessee and Liberty coming up Friday night at 7 p.m. The other two teams in the regional, North Carolina is the host there in Chapel Hill, and then UNC Wilmington is the four seed. Coming up next in the final segment of Locked On Vols, you will hear Jordan Bone offer a farewell to Tennessee fans as well as a thank you. That's coming up next, as well as a look at the Tennessee home schedule in the SEC in basketball coming up in the 2019-20 season. That's next on Locked On Vols, your team every day, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, if you want to connect with me on Twitter or Facebook, very easy to do. My Twitter handle is @Josh_Ward, and then Facebook.com/Josh Ward. You can send me a question or comment for the show anytime on Twitter and on Facebook. Jordan Bone announced, as he was expected to, that he is going to stay in the NBA draft. And I do think this is Jordan Bone saying goodbye to Tennessee. He could go undrafted and have the opportunity to return to Tennessee, but Tennessee is not expecting that at all, and I don't think that is the approach right now that Jordan Bone is taking. I think right now he's planning to be a professional basketball player next year. So he posted on Twitter a video saying goodbye to Tennessee fans and a thank you. Well, I'll let you hear. This is Jordan Bone with his announcement that he is staying in the NBA draft.
Hello, everyone. First of all, I want to thank God. Without God, none of this is possible. The announcement that I have to make today is that I will continue to keep my name in the 2019 NBA Draft. It's always been my dream as a kid, and I have the utmost confidence moving forward. The love and appreciation that I have for Vol Nation is something that will never go away, and I'll always cherish. Seeing my older brother wear the orange and white as a kid is something that's always been special to me. I've grown in so many ways at the university over the last 3 years, as a teammate, athletically, and even as a Christian. Hopefully we didn't let Vol Nation down. We had so many great memories, being SEC champs and also being ranked number one in the country. I want to thank my family. I want to thank my teammates. I want to thank Coach Rob Lanier, Desmond Oliver, Coach Barnes, Mike Schwartz, and Brian Lentz. Also Gary Mindenwald and Chad for always believing in me and always trusting me through this process. Vol Nation, I love you, and I'll always be a VFL.
Tennessee's Jordan Bone, I hope all the best for Jordan. I think he has a really good chance to be drafted, by the way. When I bring up that he could be undrafted and have a chance to return to college, there's a very real chance that he is selected in the draft. And he might be playing in the G League next year, or could go overseas, I guess. But if he's in the G League, there still would be an opportunity to get back to the NBA sometime next year. I think he needs more reps at the point guard position, but he can develop just fine in the G League or on an NBA roster. And also there, Jordan, when he's thanking a great number of staff members, not just head coach Rick Barnes, not just the assistant coaches, but strength staff and training staff members, that was genuine. Grant Williams did that a few weeks ago. Jordan did it the other night. And I think that the time at Tennessee meant a lot to these players, the connection with fans, the relationships they built within the Tennessee basketball program, and that will bring them back to Tennessee as well. And for Tennessee, the chance to sell three players being drafted, Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield, and then Jordan Bone, that could help Tennessee. That's something you take out on the recruiting trail, and you mention to guys like Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer and other key players in the 2020 class that Tennessee is going after. Tennessee's message will be, hey, look, we just had three guys go in the draft, and you could be next in line. Josiah James is probably a future NBA player as well. Let's see what happens at Tennessee, of course. But there is something for Tennessee to sell on the recruiting trail, thanks to what Grant, Admiral, Jordan, Kyle Alexander, what they were able to do, as well as Jordan Bowden and Lamonte Turner and some other players who are still at Tennessee. So as Tennessee gets ready for the upcoming season in basketball, we're a few months away, of course, but the SEC basketball schedule came out in terms of the opponents, home and away. Tennessee will play Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, South Carolina, and Auburn, both home and away this upcoming season. So you will see Bruce Pearl back at Thompson Bowling Arena this upcoming year. You know, Kentucky and Vanderbilt are going to be on there. And then at home this year, Tennessee will also have Florida, LSU, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M. So I think a pretty good home schedule for Tennessee fans to see at Thompson Bowling Arena, knowing that Kentucky and Auburn, Florida, LSU, Texas A&M with Buzz Williams will be at Thompson Bowling this upcoming year. Tennessee will play a challenging non-conference schedule. Memphis with Penny Hardaway is coming to Knoxville this upcoming year. So Tennessee will be a team that's expected to take a step back with all those players gone and Tennessee having won 31 games this past season. But Rick Barnes is used to having to replace key talent. He did that at Texas. He knows what he's doing, and he will still expect his team to make a run at an NCAA tournament spot this upcoming year. So long way to go, of course, before we're really sitting down and previewing what will happen on the floor this upcoming year. But Tennessee basketball is going to remain, I think, very interesting for Tennessee fans to follow. So today's show feature a little football, a little baseball, a little basketball talk. There's a lot going on with Tennessee. Tennessee Baseball Regional this upcoming weekend gives you something to pay attention to. I'll be back on Monday with the next Locked On Vols show talking more Tennessee football and what will have happened on the diamond this upcoming weekend as well. Keep downloading, subscribing, rating, and reviewing, and most importantly, sharing the word about the Tennessee podcast, Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name's Josh Ward. Thanks so much for being here today. I'll see you next time on Locked On Vols.